Okay, so we're continuing in Hilchos Yichud. Last week we gave a basic introduction to across-the-board introduction to Hilchos Yichud. And tonight we're going to focus on one very specific point and try to get it very much in depth. But first of all, let's review one or two points from last week, which are the foundation for anything and everything. Last week, we mentioned that Yichud is Daraisa or Darabanan. Who remembers? Daraisa, good. So it's Daraisa, we talked about which pasuk it comes from, but we said that there are some cases that are only Darabanan. They're not all cases of Daraisa, and I just want to clarify in one moment, just those things that are Darabanan that's going to be important for us to know, certain scenarios where we will be able to be Mekel because it's only Darabanan. One case that's only Darabanan is any scenario where there is more than one man and one woman. Right? Yichud is usually one and one, but it could be sometimes more than one and one. If it's one and one, that case is Daraisa. Whenever you have more than one man and one woman together, whatever mix it is, if it's Aser, it will never be Aser Daraisa. That's review point number one. Review point number two is that Yichud with Goyim is also not Daraisa. Yichud with Goyim is only Darabanan. So therefore, if I have a not-Jewish babysitter, if I have a not-Jewish maid, we're not dealing with an Issa D'Oraisa, we're dealing with an Issa D'Rabbanan, and there will be certain leniencies that we will have because of that. We said that historically there were three levels of the Yichud Halachos. First of all, the Torah says that a person can't have Yichud with their family members, their aunt, their sister-in-law, their grandmother's mother, their aunt, their sister-in-law, their daughter-in-law, their mother-in-law, etc. Later in history, with the story of Amnon and Tamar, the Beis Din of David HaMelech made an additional gzeira that you can't have Yichud even with a Penuya Tahora, even if a single girl who's not a Nida, even there, Yichud was prohibited to prevent this terrible story that happened with Amnon and Tamar. And finally, this we'll talk about for a minute now, the Talmidim of Hillel and Shammai made a Gzera D'Rabbanan that even with a non-Jewish person, there is Yichud, but again, only D'Rabbanan. That was the third stage, historically, of the Yichud story. Let's talk a little bit about this. I assume most of you probably remember some issues about Bill Clinton's marriage. It is still strong. I don't know how strong it is, but certainly publicly, Bill Clinton, as far as I remember, at least when the things happened, they said they're going to stay married and we'll let live and forget. That shows us a very important point, that Goyim have a different perspective of, I guess, what they'd expect from their spouse than a Jewish person has. Bill Clinton did whatever he did, and Hillary was okay, not so terrible. Maybe she said it was, maybe she did feel it was terrible, but not enough that she would, as we say in Yiddish, shrei chai v'kayim, scream and throw him out on his face and anything else. So that brings us to an important halacha that happened well before Bill Clinton came around. What would be the halacha in the following scenario? In general, if you have a husband and wife, then you could have any other people there, and that will permit Yichud. If you have a husband and wife, and you are visiting them for Shabbos, you're sleeping over for Shabbos with a married couple. So, of course, there's no Yichud because they're married. So, the married couple, as long anyone else who's with a married couple, does not have Yichud. What will be the case if you have Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton? They're married according to whatever laws of the state, laws of Christianity, and as far as Goyim go, they're married, and a woman wants to be miyached with them, wants to spend the night in their house, wants to spend dinner in their house with the front door locked. So could a Jewish woman be miyached with a non-Jewish couple? Here, believe it or not, the halacha is that despite the fact that by Jewish couple, we assume that Jewish wife will be very careful about her husband, and Jewish husband will be very careful about her wife, we don't assume that to be the case by a non-Jewish couple. And therefore, we are scared if a Jewish girl will be miyached with a married non-Jewish couple. They're married. We're still concerned that maybe the man will do something that's not appropriate to this girl who's visiting him, even though his wife is home. Why? Because the proof is in the pudding. We see that. We see from current events that they don't take it as seriously as Jews do. Jews go. This brings us to an interesting question. So again, we're coming out that even a married couple, non-Jewish married couple, and a girl with them will still constitute
yichud.
So if you happen to be invited to, let's say you have a non-Jewish boss, and the boss invites you, and he lives in the city with his wife, and he invites you to dinner, they'll order kosher for you, dinner in his home with he and his wife. So what could be wrong? I'll tell you what could be wrong. It's asur because of yichud. Yichud d'araisa d'rabanan? Of course, only d'rabanan on two counts. First of all, he's a guy. And second of all, there are more than one in one, which is always going to be d'rabanan. There was a question that was raised about 200 years ago to the Chavos Ya'ir. There were laws that were legislated in whatever land that he lived that were very similar to Nazi legislation before 1939. I assume that there's some kind of legislation like that in Iran now. I might be wrong, and maybe some Iranians could clarify. In that country where the Chavos Ya'ir lived 180, 200 years ago, any person of the land, any citizen, who would live with a Jewish woman would be burned. So the question that was asked to the Chavos Ya'ir, would this legislation, which is certainly quite a, what's the word? Something that prevents you from doing something? Deterrent, thank you. This legislation is very much a deterrent from anything improper. Would that deterrent be sufficient to permit yichud between a Jewish girl and this non-Jewish man? Says the Chavos Ya'ir, I'm sorry. Even if there is legislation that would terrify him, he's scared that he'll be burnt, and that was the legislation. He'll actually be burnt if he lives with a Jewish woman. Just like these laws were passed. I forgot, anyone know historically the name of those laws? Were they Nuremberg laws? That rings a bell. Something like that. This rings a bell. That was the law in Nazi Germany before World War II, when they were doing all their propaganda leading up to the war. Is that sufficient enough deterrent to permit yichud with a man, a non-Jewish man, and a Jewish woman? As we could probably imagine, the answer the Chavos Ya'ir gave was no, it is still aser, and he gave two rationales for his prohibition. First of all, if it's legislation, so he'll only be punished if he'll be discovered. Maybe he'll tell himself, I won't be discovered. Or he'll do it in a way that will be secret, or a way that he doesn't think that he'll be discovered, and he won't be nervous. That's the first reason, that he won't think he'll be discovered. And a second reason, which cuts down to a very important perspective about the halachos derabanan, is that there are a lot of derabanans that we have, and across the board, all over halacha. And sometimes we wonder about one here and one there, if the rationale that the Chazal had when they instituted this takana, does it still apply nowadays? Maybe the reason for this halacha, the reason for this takana, doesn't apply so much. Maybe the reason for that halacha doesn't apply as much. Well, we have a rule. The Gemara tells us a rule that whenever there's a takana of Chazal, takana midrabanan, you can't uproot it unless you have a Beit Din nowadays that is bigger, both in wisdom and in years, perhaps, it's hard to understand what the second criteria is, then that based in that enacted that initial legislation, that initial takana d'rabbanan. Even if we think, in our minds, that the reason is no longer applicable, it doesn't matter. The halacha still applies, so therefore, the halacha d'rabbanan, again, we're saying that it's only d'rabbanan between a non-Jewish man and a Jewish girl, if she's not married, but a non-Jewish man and a single Jewish girl is only d'rabbanan. However, since it's only there, even though we might think that the reason would be suspended maybe in such a country where the legislation of the land would be a deterrent, nope. The reason, the takanas of Chazal stand even if the rationale falls away. That's the end of the discussion about Gayim. We ended last shiar with a 1-second outline of how Hilchos Yichud works, which will also parallel how the next few shiurim will be structured. Hilchas Yichud works like this. There's one iser, prohibition called Yichud. Seclusion, as we defined it last week, seclusion. Seclusion could be with one and one, it could sometimes be with two and one, sometimes it could even be more than two and one, and we'll talk about that later today. Seclusion, it's aser. After you have this iser called Yichud, the rest of Hilchas Yichud are just going through certain situations that permit that iser. So Yichud is aser, however, there are going to be a number of situations. Well, wait, we have to define what Yichud is. How many is Yichud? Is only one and one Yichud? Well, from the past discussion, you know that's not just one and one. Yichud, one and one is aser. We'll talk about how many men, how many women still constitute a situation of seclusion. That's what Yichud is. After we define what Yichud is, then we're going to have a heter called Pesach Pasuach, Petach Patuach, which means the door is open, and other such permutations. That's exception number one. Exception number two is going to be Ba'ala Ba'ir. A woman can be miyached with a man if her husband is in the city. The inverse of that is that a man is allowed to have yichud in certain situations when his wife is also around. We'll get into those details, not tonight. And the third heter to the general isser of yichud is a shomer. If you have somebody who's allowed to be with yichud, for example, if you're with your brother and somebody else comes over, if I'm with my mother and somebody else comes over, those are cases called where there's a shomer, there's somebody else to look in from the outside. Those are the three categories of hetero. Before we talk about the main thing of tonight, the main topic for tonight, I want to just mention something that is very obvious, but it's important to point out. The reason why it's important to point out is for two reasons. First of all, because it's so common, the opportunities are so common. And secondly, because it's something that's very difficult. Let's start with a chazal. The Gemara in Sota, Daf Yud, writes the following. Kol kala shetznua beveis chamiha, any kala who is proper, who's modest, who is a tznua, in the home of her father, meaning she's not married yet. In the olden days, there was something called Kiddushin. There was something called Nisuin. Kiddushin was the first stage of marriage where she would still be living in her own house. Only after Nisuin, which is what we do today, the chuppah, and the Sheva Brachos, as opposed to the giving of the ring, which is the first stage. So in our weddings, what do we have? We give over a ring. The husband, the chassan, gives the woman a ring. That's Kiddushin. They are now married. If they break up right now, they didn't read the Ksuvia. If they break up now, she will need a get. She is an Eishes Ish. If she lives with somebody else, she'll be Chayv Misa. Now, in the olden days, there would be 12 months from this stage of Kiddushin until they actually move in together when they have their Chuppah and they have their Sheva Brachos. There used to be a 12-month time period to give everybody enough time to get their clothing together, to get their bedding together, to get their set up the apartment. Nowadays, it's too risky. We don't want to have 12 months of people sort of married, but not under the same roof, so we separate it by about 7 minutes instead of 12 months. What do we do during those 7 minutes? We read the ksuva. So halachically, what's the significance of reading the ksuva? Nothing. What's the best kibud you could give somebody at the wedding? Anything but reading the ksuva. Why? Because halachically, what is it? Zero. All it is it's helping pass time, because it looks weird. Something that used to take 12 months, and here we're going to do one right after the other. It doesn't look nice. Let's at least read a ksuva, do something in the middle, spend time. We can have a juggling act. We can have a comedy routine. You'll announce that afterwards. Or we can read the ksuva. It happens to be that it is considered one of the big kibbutim, so we'll let things be. But now you guys know the real truth, that it is not a kibbut whatsoever. It's not, halachically, it's zero, literally zero. And after that, the 7 minutes pass, and now we do nisuin. That's the second stage of marriage. Says the Gemara in Sota, a woman, a kala, who is tsnua, before she gets married, zocha v'yotzin mimena melachim u'nevi'im, she'll be zocha to bear kings and nevi'im. It's incredibly important, again, it's obvious, but it's just so important to say that even though somebody is going to get married, that God willing, there's a couple, there's a man, there's a woman, Be'ezras Hashem, everybody here will have that time very soon, they'll be engaged to be married. Even though, of course, once they'll be married, yichud will be permitted, But while they're engaged, of course, it's obvious, but it needs to be mentioned, yichud is still prohibited. And this Gemara points out an interesting perspective. It's not just a matter of a person saying, it's my life, I want to do what I want to do. There's a personal responsibility that every individual has to the family that they hopefully, Bezus Hashem, will build, of Yotzim and Menem Malachim and Nevi'im, that your family will depend on the appropriateness and the modesty, even while the couple is engaged, to, God willing, be married. Of course, I'll just share you a very cute story that I couldn't believe, but I was very impressed. A gentleman on campus who lives in our neighborhood, obviously I cannot tell you his name, was going out with a woman, ended up marrying her. So this married couple living somewhere on this campus. I know I'm not going to say anything more than that, other than his name, no. He realized, or they realized, that while they were going out, the temptations of doing more than what was appropriate were challenging. He had the gvura, and I mean gvura, that whenever he went out with the person who ultimately became his wife, he took along, not his mother, that would be very bad, his little sister. That's incredible, incredible, incredible gvura. I'm sure the little sister had a great time. Good food, good times, maybe some good movies, whatever it was. But that's real gvura. That's real, real, real gvura. We'll see some stories in Chazal about some gvura that Chazal did, some wonderful stories from the Amoraim, but that might not be nogea for us. But this is the kind of story that really is very impressive from somebody in our community, and we'll stop there. Okay, now let's get to tonight's topic. Tonight's topic is going to be one tiny, tiny, tiny case. One scenario, and nothing more than one scenario. But we're going to delve into it in a way that we're going to try to understand it from all the sides, and all the kulas, and maybe a few chumras, but we're going to try to look for some kulas. We'll have some kulas halacha lemaisa that are applicable in many situations, especially dating. And but, are there any svardim here? You don't have to be ashamed. Some of our greatest rishonim are svardim. Okay, everything I'm going to say right now is only for Ashkenazim. So if you're Sephardi, you could step outside and come back in 20 minutes when your halacha comes. If you don't want to step out, you just close your ears, because it's a lot easier for Ashkenazim than it is for Sephardi. So all of us are Ashkenazim. We have the easy way out here. There are other places that it's easier to be a Sephardi, but let's talk about Sephardim. Great. There's a Mishnah in Kiddushin. The Mishnah in Kiddushin that talks about Hilchas Yichud is Kiddushin Daf Pei Amid Beis, and the Gemara continues to Pei Aleph Amid Aleph, and the Mishnah says, I'll read you six words. Isha Achas, one woman. Should I speak in Ashkenazis or Svaradit? Svaradit, okay. Even though this is only for the Ashkenazim. Isha Achat, Mit Yachedet, one woman is permitted to have Yichud with Im Shnei Anashim, with two men. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. One woman with two men. So just think in your mind so that this becomes halacha lemaisa for yourselves. What's a scenario where I, one woman, not me, meaning you, the audience, where I was, or might be, or will be, or very soon, at work, at school, in the library, in the building, in the elevator, one woman with two men. Let's say you're at work, you're an accountant, and it's tax season, and there are two guys staying late in the office. That's one woman with two men. Let's say you're in the elevator. Well, we talked about elevators last week a little bit about that maybe that's okay because it's less than the amount of time that's necessary to make yichud aser. But again, one woman, you're there with two men. That, the Mishnah says explicitly, is mutter. For Ashkenazim. Just remember, for Ashkenazim. It's a Mishnah, but we'll see why the Sfaradim changed that. Why is it mutter? Why is it mutter? Well, the obvious answer is because it's not one-on-one. But it's not so simple. Because just because it's not one-on-one, it doesn't always solve the situation. Rashi says, and that's something we'll talk about next week, but Rashi says, the reason why one woman can be in yichud with two men is because if one man would start up with the woman, well, he wouldn't start up with the woman because he'd be embarrassed of the presence of the other man. Okay, nowadays, we do live in a very promiscuous age, but at least this is the halacha. One man would be embarrassed to do anything, to start up with a woman, if there was another guy present. That's what Rashi says on the Mishnah. So we have a heter of one woman with two men. Now, the Gemara says that that kula, that permissibility of the Mishnah, has two limitations. Limitation number one is that those two men that the woman is miyached with have to be ksherim. They can't be prutzim. They have to be kosher people, they have to be religious people, and we will try to define what it means to be a kosher person, as opposed to if the men are prutzim, they're immodest people, they're inappropriate people. We'll try to give a definition of those words. We'll also, in the midst of our shiur today, talk about what happens if it's one and one. Those are scenarios that we could very well conjure, and I'll mention them as we come across them. That's the first limitation on the heter, on the heter of one woman with two men. So again, those two men have to be kosher people and not prutzim. In general, we will assume, the Rishonim say this explicitly, the Ran, the Rashba, all say explicitly that a religious Jew can be assumed, if you don't know anything else, the religious Jew can be assumed to be a kosher. So a religious Jew is a kosher, and therefore if you're in a room by yourself with two religious men, whatever their age might be, whatever your age is, mutter, period, if you're Ashkenazi. The second limitation on this halacha of one woman permitted with two men is that it's only while you're in the city. However, if you're baderech, if you're traveling, and you'll see the rationale in a moment, then the Ravid writes, and this is how we paskin for Ashkenaz and how the Rama paskins, the Ravid writes that we need an extra man. You need a third man. Why? Well, just imagine the scenario. You're walking along the way. I was just speaking to some, the CJF at YU had a trip. Where was it? Wait, was it CJF or was it Moshav Bnei Akiva? I don't remember. Somebody's telling me that they had a bus that was going to Florida, right? CJF? A Muncie Trails bus that was going all the way from here to Florida. So the first question that I asked him was, did it have a, not a VCR? No, on Muncie Trails. If you think of going on a bus to Florida, the first question I asked him, well, did it have a bathroom? So he answered, yes, it did, but we were told not to use it. So a reasonable answer. What happens if you have one woman and two men, which are mutter, walking along b'derech? All of a sudden, as you're walking for hour after hour after hour, somebody has to go to the bathroom. Let's say it's the girl. So fine, so she's alone and two men are alone, nothing wrong with that. But what happens if it's one of the guys? So what are you left with? One woman, one man. And that's yichud. So therefore, Chazal set up, at least the way the Ravid understands and the way Halacha does assume, we don't want to have this possibility become manufactured of being left with one and one in case one has to go to the bathroom. So therefore, it's not enough to have two men and one woman, because one might leave, you'll be left with one man and one woman. Rather, you have to have three men, so that even if one of them goes to the bathroom, you're still left with a permissible situation, with two men and one woman. So, next time you're going on a very long walk with your wagon driver and your date, that's two men, you have to bring along a third man. That's scenario number one. What might be a little bit more applicable than that scenario is another concern. What else might people have to do besides going to the bathroom? Let's say it's late at night. Well, if it's late at night, people sometimes go to sleep. So if you have two men and one woman, that's mutter, right? But what happens if it's late at night? What if one of them, and we assume people do this sometimes, goes to sleep? So what are you left with? One man, one woman. That's not good. So this same logic that says that baderech we need an extra man so that we won't be left in a scenario of one and one applies also at night, balayla. Just like baderech, you need three men so that if one goes to the bathroom, you'll still have the permissibility of two. So to balayla, you have to have three men and one woman. So let's just get a very quick halacha lemaisa coming out of this, and then we'll talk about the details. You're on a date, and it's the middle of the winter, and there's snow on the ground, and it's freezing, and all the stores are closed, and the bowling alleys and the movie theaters and everything else that you might want to ever go, and all the restaurants are closed because it's a fast day, and you need somewhere to go on your date. And you wouldn't be caught dead with the guy you're dating in front of your friends, so you have a great idea, or he has a great idea. Come to my place. Wait a second. Does he have any roommates there? Of course. He has roommates there. His good roommate. They've been roommates for 7 years. So, could you go to his apartment for a date? Or not for a date? Or for Shabbos dinner? Well, let's see. If there's one woman with two, assuming he's religious, assuming he's from, and we'll talk about the details in a moment. The next topic will be who's considered religious. Assuming he's religious and he's a proper guy, so you could go on a date in his apartment with a door locked. Again, assuming he's a kosher guy. You and him and his roommate. Perfectly mutter lechatchila for Ashkenazim. What happens if it's getting late? And it's getting later. And it's 12:30, 1, 1:32, depending on who the roommate is. And he's getting tired. And it's his bedtime. Well, what do we assume? Two are not enough. Why? Because if he falls asleep, what are you left with? One man, one woman. No good. So what do we have to do? We have to call in one of his buddies. Okay, so if he has two roommates and him, then everything's fine. All night long. All night long. You're having a date in your boyfriend's house. He is there with two roommates. They might even be sleeping at this point. That's okay. That is mutter lechatchila. Believe it or not. Mutter lechatchila, front door is locked. Okay, obviously don't take advantage, yeah? I mean, whatever. Yes, yes, both can be sleeping, yes. Excellent question. The post can talk about it, both can be sleeping. Okay, so who's religious? Obviously, when I talk about religious, we're not talking about religious legabe many halachas. We're talking about it specifically for the purposes of yichud, where we say that if it's one woman with two men, it's mutter, as long as those two men are ksherim. Well, who's not kasher? Well, as you can imagine, we're going to have a machlokas. Okay. We'll mention three opinions of how to define somebody as being kosher versus a paritz, which is opposite of a kosher, and then later on we'll talk about a fourth one. The three are the following. The Mahari Mintz, one of the later Rishonim, maybe early Achronim, I think, says that in order to be considered a paritz, that you can no longer have yichud with two men and one woman, if those guys were violated an isser, presumably an issa that relates to immorality. Either they're not shomer negiyah, they're not shomer yichud, they did something even worse than that. Those people would be considered prutzim, and yichud in that scenario would not be permitted if those two guys were such people. They have to be people that are moral enough that they have never been poritz geder, they have never violated the situation of sexual immorality and its surrounding halachas. The Chachmas Adam tweaks this and says, no, not just if his violation was in the area of sexual mores, but even in any area of halacha. If there's a person, let's say he's into shatnas, he just loves shatnas. He goes to the store, he goes to Sims, he goes to Central 21, and he says, please, can I have some linen clothing? And he looks at the linen, and all he buys is 100% linen. He says, come on, you got to have something with a little bit of mixture of wool, please. And he buys that suit. He likes that kind of stuff. He just loves shatnas. Or whatever. Or maybe kashrus he's not so good at. Or maybe Shabbos he's not so good at. The Chacham Sadam says, that's a person. Even if it has nothing to do with sexuality, nothing to do with things of arayos, just to do with he violates an isser. He's not careful about one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. That also makes him considered a promiscuous person. Again, not promiscuous, because shatnez has nothing to do with arayos, but there's an area of halacha that he's not, you know, doesn't talk to me. That person is not considered a kasher, and such a person you cannot be with just two of them. How many would you have to have? Let's say you're going with a guy and he, his roommates, whatever, are prutzim. So how many of them do you need to make it mutter to be miyachid with? What do you think? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Well, the Gemara says 10. It's still Aser. Yishalmi takes it a step further. Yishalmi says even 100 is Aser. Because you have 100 people who are all inappropriate people, you know, that's called a college campus. That's not called a Heter of Yichud. Okay, I didn't mean that. That was a total joke. Obviously, there are different situations and there are very different circumstances, and every circumstance has to be evaluated based on the appropriate, whatever the scenario is. I hope that's very clear. Thank you very much. The next opinion is Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein actually has a chumrah here. Last week, I think we quoted him for a kul. I don't remember what it was. But this week, we'll mention him as a little bit of a chumrah. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, let's say the two people that we're talking about, the two men, are 100% religious, 100% kosher, everything. However, one or two, let's assume both of them, are not sure that they could withstand the temptation that they are being found in right now. They didn't do anything wrong, ever. On their track record, both in the police department and in Shamayim, it's completely clean. They never did anything wrong. No convictions, no felonies, no parking tickets. Still, if he's nervous about himself, that he might not be able to withstand the temptations that he finds himself in right now, well, what's right now? A situation where it's one girl, him, and his roommate. That nervousness that he has inside, where he doesn't know if he'll be able to withstand the temptation, is sufficient enough to qualify him, this is a big chumrah, as a parutz. Because there, yeah, it's sort of like going to be funny, because all the guys who are real, like, from guys, and Yirei Shamayim, and all scared that they'll do something wrong, those are going to be the guys that are going to be usher, because they don't trust themselves. All the guys who don't really care so much about it, ah, it'll be fine, I'm not worried, I'll do great, and nothing to worry about, for him it's going to be mutter, because he's not nervous about being nishal. So that's an interesting shita, I don't know if we have to follow this, but that's how he defines the halacha of the parts. And again, so according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, two men and a girl, if they're kosher, it's fine, but if one of those guys, or both of those guys, we'll see what about one and one, if both of those guys are nervous about the temptation of this scenario, then it's going to be aser, and even if there are 10 such guys or 100, it'll still be a problem. We'll talk about how to solve that problem a bit later. Now, let's listen to the most fun... Yes? Okay, I assume if a person has done proper tshuva, that has taken them out of the din of parutz. However, I could hear that according to the shita that we mentioned earlier, the Maharim Mintz, who said that somebody who in the past has done something inappropriate in the area of Arayos, I could hear that maybe Arayos, because there's such a pull and such a temptation, maybe it would be different despite tshuva. I don't know the answer. It's an excellent question. I'm going to jot it down. What happens if there's somebody who's chozer b'tshuva after having been nichshal in one of these areas? Very nogei halacha maisa. I don't know the answer. Your husband knows where I sit in the base medrash, so you can follow up. Next shita, which is, I don't want to say it's my favorite, but let's just start like this. It's the most, it raises the most ire in different communities. Said in the name of great people, poskim who we will follow for everything, maybe not this. Listen. This is a shita of Rav Yashiv Shlita. I was zochet to meet him, as well as the Shevet HaLevi, Rav Vosner from Bnei Brak, both of the two biggest poskim that we have in Klal Yisrael today. But you'll understand that here, what they're about to say might not be the most accurate portrayal of our community here in Washington Heights. But perhaps in their community, it does make a lot of sense. They say, listen to this, again, I don't know if anyone's going to come back next week, they say somebody who watches television, or somebody who goes to the movies, and there are sometimes inappropriate scenes on either, so that means that they're not careful about Gilei Arayos. Says Rav Yashiv, Rav Vosner, who will follow for all the halachas and everything maybe except for this one, says these two, Gedolei HaPoskim, that means that the man, that guy who does it, is not careful about Arayos, and he would be considered the parutz that is not permitted to be miyached with one woman and two such men. I wasn't sure if I should say this, because I think that it is not appropriate for our community, which is much more open community, but I could hear very much that if in Me'ah She'arim, on the block that Rav Yashiv lives, or in Bnei Brak, on the block where Rav Vosner lives, it is very possible that somebody from that community who would be very familiar with television or going to the movies, that might very much indicate a lack of sensitivity to Arayos, and therefore we just have to, let me read just the words that I wrote here. just to make things clear, we must evaluate if this is applicable even in communities where TV is the norm, or only in more insulated situations. So I think for our community, we will not assume this is the halacha. I assume in our community where TV is much more common, and is not, I'm not saying that TV is great, I'm not saying that things are, if something's usher to watch, it's usher for everybody to watch, or it's mutter for everybody to watch, doesn't matter where in the world you live, which community you live in, it's either mutter. If something's inappropriate, it's inappropriate for everybody, it's appropriate. But nonetheless, in our community, the TV is very much viewed, and therefore, somebody who watches TV in our community would probably not constitute somebody who is considered a parutz, and presumably you could still be miyached with such a person, two such persons, biyichad. Okay, now let's get halach l'maisa. Let's talk about going to work. And who do I work with? I work with, presumably, let's say in my office, they're all, everybody's a guy, has a din of a, everybody is a guy, or a non-religious Jew. So the halacha is that a guy or a non-religious Jew, for the categories of this specific halacha, has a din of a paratz. The most upstanding moral individual, we're not evaluating people, we're not judging people, but halachically they are considered, for the halachas of yichud, as a paratz. And therefore, one woman with two such men, two non-religious men, or two non-Jewish men, that scenario of yichud would be prohibited. So, I'm going to work, and it is tax season. I already started getting my year-end reports from employers and all of my bank statements and everything, so tax season has begun, and somebody in this room is an accountant, and she's in the office late with her two non-Jewish coworkers, or even two non-religious coworkers. So what is she going to do? Well, the answer is, well, if it's just her and those two, we're going to have to find an alternate solution. We'll have alternate solutions, not this week. You'll have to come back. I'll try to get the jelly beans back by then. Maybe we'll, especially after I just said this about TV, I better get the jelly beans quickly. What could we do? How could we get more people involved in this situation so that we're not worried about a situation of yichud? Again, yichud, even though it's one and two, is going to be aser. What about one and three goyim? Is that going to be better? One Jewish girl with three goyim, three non-religious Jews, it would be the same. Also, we said if they're prutzim, they halachically are considered prutzim, then even asara, the Gemara says, and the Yerushalmi says, even 100 isn't going to help you. So by adding more men to the equation, that's not going to solve anything. What do we have to do? We need women. So how many women are we going to need to balance things out, to make it mutter? We're going to find three opinions among the poskim. I'll say it quickly, and then we'll try to at least understand one of them. One opinion says, again, one woman with two prutzim is prohibited, so how do you make it mutter? Or in different words, one Jewish accountant girl who's working with two accountant male co-workers, how do we change that into a mutter situation? We add one female. Two and two. That's one opinion. That's the most lenient opinion. The most machmir opinion is that you need three and three. You have to have a minimum of three men and three women. If we deal with prutzim, the men are prutzim, so it's never going to be mutter unless you have three such men and three women. Once you have three and three, then everything's okay. And the shita in the middle, well, if the most machmir opinion, I'm sorry, the most machmir opinion, yeah, the most machmir opinion is that you need three men and three women. The most makel opinion is that you need two men and two women. What's going to be the compromise opinion, the middle opinion? Two and three. Two what and three what? Okay, so the third opinion is two men and three women will be permitted. Those are three opinions, and how do we paskin in that? Hang on. Let's first explain, and this, anyone here a math major? Great, okay. Engineering majors? Not so many. Okay, so hopefully if no one else understands, you'll explain it to them. Okay? The Beis Shmuel on the Shulchan Aruch explains where the source for this stringent opinion that you need three men and three women to solve the problem of prutzim. To solve the problem, again, men who are not appropriate, or men who are goyim, or men who are not religious, wants to be in yichud or late at work in the accounting office with their female counterparts. How many men do you have to have? Three such men. Where does the number three come from? Well, listen to the Rambam, quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Rambam says the following. And then we're going to call upon our math and engineering majors to do some math. lower level math. So we're not talking about integrated calculus, we're talking about addition or subtraction. Lo tisyached isha achas. One woman cannot be misyached. Afilu im anashim harbei, even with many people who are not appropriate. Ad shetihya ishto shel echad mehem sham. Until a wife of one of those inappropriate men are there. That's not talking about our situation. That's talking about a case where a wife is there. But now let's start thinking a little bit mathematically. I have a whole bunch of prutzim. I have a whole bunch of men with whom yichud is prohibited. And I'm the single woman who's with them. I'm not allowed to be there. Until what? Until one of those guys, his wife is there. That means if his wife is there, then I could be there, here. But what if his wife is not here? Then what if it was some other girl was here? Would that be okay? Again, it says, single, a girl, not single, it doesn't matter, single, not single, a girl is with a bunch of people who are prutzim. It is usher for her to be there until one of those guys has a wife with him. That means only a wife with him. If it wouldn't be a wife, then it would be usher. So you see from that a number of prutzim with two women, if it's not his wife, would be usher. So what more thing that could we add to the pot to make it more mutter? Another woman. This is how we deduce the most chumra dika opinion, the most stringent opinion, that three women will be necessary. Again, the math goes as follows. It says that if you have a bunch of prutzim, let's say three prutzim is a bunch, and you have one woman, that's usher. Another woman is mutter if she is his wife. But if she's not his wife, it's still going to be usher. So what do you see? That even two women and three men are usher, it's only going to be mutter if you add something to that. That something is going to be one more woman. That's the source, at least for the opinion, who says you need three men and three women. But this is very important to know, because when you go to work tomorrow night, if you're an accountant, or if you're wherever you're working with a hand only goyim or not religious Jews, and there's just two of you, there's one of you, or two of them, or three of them, then you have to know how many people you have to have. We have to have a company. One's a lonely, but if you have a company, if you have a bunch, then it'll be okay. How are we going to paskin? Lichatchila, if you can engineer the situation, it's better to have three and three. Again, you have three non-religious co-workers, male, three non-Jews that you're working with. If you could be in a situation where you could get yourself to make sure there are three of them, and three on your team, three women, that is lichatchila. If you can't, I would ask a shayla. B'makom hatzorach, where there is need, you could be mekel, to have only two women, perhaps, or perhaps only two men and three women, but in that case, it's better to ask a shayla to try to figure out what to do. But certainly, if there are three men, three women, even if they're prutzim, you're okay, no problems, no questions asked. Okay. Let's talk about Sephardim for a few minutes, and then we'll end with some stories. Not stories from me, stories from the Gemara. Okay, so now all the Sephardim can actually raise their hands and tell us that you're a Sephardim, and now we're going to be talking to you. The Rambam, and this is going to be the fourth opinion. I mentioned before that there are three opinions about what constitutes a paritz. The Rambam has a very strict definition of who's a paritz. And can't have yichud with one woman. You know what the Rambam says? The Rambam says that every single Jew is considered a paritz. Every single Jew is considered somebody who cannot be relied upon. And you could have 10 religious guys with beards longer than mine. I don't have such a long beard. Long payas, big black hats, long black coats. 10 of them, 20 of them, 30 of them, 40 of them. With one woman, it's still aser. What do you mean? The Mishnah said explicitly that two men can be with one woman, as long as they're not paritzes. Says the Rambam, they're all paritzes. Why? Where did the Rambam get this from? That's very judgmental of the Rambam's part. What right does he have to accuse all of the Jewish men, all the religious men, all the Bnei Torah, all of them are considered prutzim? Why did the Rambam say this? Let me share with you a story. This is not the story that we're going to say soon. This is just a short story. In the Gemara in Kedushin, right after that Mishnah, the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, says the following story. two Amoraim were walking in the desert, on a deserted path, wherever they were, through the forest, and lo and behold, what appears before them? A woman. One says to the other, now wait, if it's two men and one woman, what should we think? According to the Mishnah, that should be okay, right? And these are Amoraim talking about. I think their names were Rav and Rav Yehuda. We learned their Torah. They were big rabbis. Certainly not Prutzim by any stretch of my imagination. One says to the other, I don't remember who said to who, I think it was Rav and Rav Yehuda, come, let's lift up our legs and run to get away from Gehenna. And the other, again, I don't remember who, responds, what Gehenna? There are two of us, and two men with one woman is mutter. What's the response? Yeah, sure, that's right. When you're like who? Rav Chanina bar Papi v'chaverav. If you're like Rav Chanina bar Papi v'chaverav and Rav Chanina bar Papi's friends, then it's mutter. But for people like us, oh, no way, let's run. That's the story. What does the Rambam deduce from that? That who's the kasher? Only somebody on that incredibly high moral standards, like Rabbi Chanina bar Papi, we'll see the story in a minute, who he was. Somebody like that, oh, that's a kasher. But anyone who's not like Rabbi Chanina bar Papi, even if you're Rav, even if you're Rav Yehuda, one of the great Amoraim whose Torah we learned today, that's not considered a kasher to rely on two men and one woman. So let's pause and say one story about Rabbi Chanina bar Papi and maybe two other stories from that same Gemara. I printed this out. I cut and pasted from Bar Ilan the Gemara onto my sheets. The problem is I don't know how to format it, so it comes out reading from left to right instead of from right to left. So all the words are backwards. So it'll take me a little bit longer to read you the stories, and I'm not dyslexic, it's just going to take me a little bit longer. First story is like this. Rav Chanina bar Papi, he's the person that, oh, if you're like Rav Chanina bar Papi, then it's okay, but if not, not us. Rav Chanina bar Papi says in the Gemara, a certain matronita is probably Greek or Latin for a matron, an important Roman woman, approaches him, and usually Machinita meant a powerful, politically powerful woman who, what she says, went and he couldn't get away from her. So she says, I'm interested in you, Rabbi Chanina bar Papi. And he says, no. And he, somehow using his magical powers, he covers his body with, I think it's like shchin, with boils. Looks disgusting and looks, ugh. What did she do? She used her magic and healed him. Okay. So what did he do? He ran away and hid in the ruins of a building where the Gemara assumes in many places that in the ruins of the building there are these mazikim, these dangerous creatures, invisible creatures that come to get you, that people, even the day, wouldn't go into one of those ruins. At night, of course, we're not going to go into one of those ruins, but even to a creepy ruins, place of ruins, where there are the mazikim who could attack him, he ran into one of those to escape her. The next day, he ended up being safe and sound, even though he was in such a dangerous place. And the Rabbanim approached him and said, who protected you? And he said, two of the Caesar's armed guards protected me all night long. The Rabbanim said to him, wow, that's an ace. That's where these guys come from. It's an ace. Maybe you were tempted with a Dvar Erva, with some immoral, some challenge of Arayos, and you withstood the temptation, because after all, we have a tradition that anybody who withstands the challenge of sexual temptation and withstands the challenge, osim lo nes. And he says, yes. That's where he got this miracle, these people protecting him, because he withstood this temptation. That's the story of Rabbi Chanina bar Papi. What do we see about him? That he had incredible strength, incredible inner strength to withstand temptation. Somebody who has a track record like him, oh, he's a real kasher. So, in that story that I told you about Rav and Rabbi Yehuda walking down the path one day, somebody like Rabbi Chanina bar Papi, who already has a track record, a proven track record, that they're incredibly incredibly strong-willed people, that's a person that we're allowed to have yichud, one woman with two men, says the Rambam. But anyone else, any regular person, is not going to be permitted. And that's why Svardim, one woman and two men are not enough. Religious men, one woman and 5 or 10 religious men are not enough. You're going to need the numbers that we said before, either 3 and 3, or 2 and 2, or 2 and 3. Let's just mention these two other stories. They're cute little stories, and I think it's part of Torah also. different aspect of Torah, but this is also part of Torah, so these are just nice to hear. Who, the Gemara is, yes, I'm sorry. Good question. I think the if the woman is Sfardi, then she has to follow her halacha. So if a woman is Sfardi, and she therefore follows the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. When I say Sfardi, that means the Shulchan Aruch, not the Rambam. So the Shulchan Aruch says like this Rambam. If she knows that she's Sfardi, then she knows that she can only be, she cannot be in the room alone if there are 2, 5, 10, 20, 100 from religious, upstanding B'nai Torah. She's going to have at least 2 guys and 2 girls, or maybe 3 guys and 3 girls, like we mentioned a few minutes ago. It depends on her. That's a better question. If one of the guys is Sfardi, so there's a Sfardi guy in an Ashkenazi yeshiva, and the whole shir goes on Shabbaton to the Rebbe's house, and the Rebbe wasn't feeling well, and he had to go to the hospital, so they're all at home with the Rebbetzin, and the children are all in cheder. So you have the Ashkenazi yeshiva with the Sfardi guy at the Rebbetzin's house. She's Ashkenazi, but he's a Sfardi. I think for him, this scenario is Yichud. Because for him, what is it for him? He has to look at himself. He doesn't have to look at anybody else. For me, I'm a Sfardi guy. He's a Sfardi guy. I'm not. He's a Sfardi guy, and he's in a situation that halacha states for him, many kosher men and one upstanding woman does constitute Yichud. And therefore, for Sfardi, he's going to have to only be permitted to be in a situation of 2 and 2, or 3 and 3, or 2 and 3. So let's finish with these 2 last stories. Of these other 2 people who are considered great moral paradigms. Reb Tzadok. Who is Reb Tzadok? Again, this powerful Roman woman, the Machanita, says, "Mr. Tzadok, I'm very interested in you." And he says, "I'm sorry, my heart is weak, and I'm not able to be with you. Maybe I can have something, maybe if I have a bite, I'll get more strength." She said, "Okay, but all I have is something that's not kosher." He says, "Well, if you're going to be involved in this, not, you know, tray food is not so terrible." Okay, so she starts lighting up the oven, and she puts the food into the oven. What does he do? Jumps into the oven! And she turns to him. I mean, I guess she didn't jump into, like, where the fires were, because the rest of the conversation might not have happened. But she says to him, "Hi, my," which in English we say, "What's up? Why so much? Like, why, this is a little bit, you know, this is very unusual, you know, this is a little bit extreme, isn't this?" And he says, "The avir ha, one who does this, nafil baha, falls into this. If you do this, if you're involved in something like this, you fall into the fires." And she says to him, "Oh, if I didn't know that you guys take this kind of thing so seriously. I'm sorry." That's the second story of one of the friends of Rabbi Chanina bar Papa. Again, somebody like that, even the Rambam would allow, somebody who has such incredible moral stature, even the Rambam would allow to be b'yichud with one woman, if there are 2 such men. And the final story, before we wrap up, is Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana sold baskets. He was a basket weaver. And as he was weaving his baskets, again, this Roman woman, these Roman women, wow. Again, a Roman woman, Mahu Machanita, this big Roman woman, comes into him and says, "I'm interested in you." He says, "Okay, give me a moment, I'll make myself, you know, I'll fix myself up, put on some, you know, I'll shave and change and put on some nice clothes." So what did he do? He escapes her for a moment and jumps off the roof. As he's flying through the air, if you're watching Superman, what do you think would happen right now? All of a sudden, somewhere far away, in the telephone booth, somebody's changing very quickly and comes out. Who's this? Eliyahu HaNavi! Grabs him as he's about to fall to the ground. And Eliyahu HaNavi says, "You know, I was doing important things. And you made me be Tareach. You made me, you know, stop whatever I was doing and be Tareach. And I had to come save you. That's not right. I had better things to do with my time. Why are you doing this to me?" says Eliyahu HaNavi. "I had to come 400 parses away. Less than Krypton, but it's still far." So the answer is of Kahana, "Well, it's very simple. What caused me to be in this very uncomfortable situation? I'm a poor guy. I had to weave baskets." "So you weave baskets. Who's going to buy baskets? Go to Bed Bath & Beyond. Who do you find there?" "You don't find men there." If you do, they're there because their wives told them to come. Or, okay. So the only reason why I'm weaving baskets and selling baskets and I was in a situation that this Roman woman could approach me is because I'm poor. So if you make me not poor, you won't have to come save me again. So what does Eliyahu HaNavi do? Gives him a basket of dinarim, a basket of coins. Again, jumped off the roof to avoid this terrible this temptation. This is a person of great moral stature. This is a person that even the Rambam says is allowed to be Mesiyached, but all of us, like me, like Rav Yehuda, the Amoraim in the Gemara, and all the other Rosh Yeshiva who you know, all of those people are all considered Prutzim for the Sfaradim and for those who follow the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, and that will be prohibited. What about this Gemara that I read you a few minutes before these three stories, the Gemara that was talking about Yichud, about the two Amoraim walking on the path, and one said to the other, let's run because we're only two of us, and the other one said, but two is fine. And they said, no, that's just for the big tzaddikim. How do we bear with that Gemara? I'm an Ashkenazi guy, and I assume that I'm a kosher guy, and if I'm in a situation where I myself, as an individual, am in Yichud with two women, that should be permitted. But doesn't that Gemara say explicitly that only if you're incredible track record, like Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi and his friends, only that's permitted? What do us Ashkenazim do with that Gemara? The answer is that all the Rishonim, other than the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, all the Rishonim assume that Gemara was a Midas Chasidus. When Rav says to Rav Yehuda, let's get out of here and escape because it's two men and this one woman, and the woman says, what do you mean? But that's fine, that's halachically mutter. He says, oh, that's only for great people. When he said it's only for great people, that was a Midas Chasidus. He wanted to hold himself on a higher spiritual plane, on a higher level of expectation, on a more righteous level, which he's entitled to. That's why he avoided the situation. Not because halachically it was aser, because he wanted to hold himself on a greater level. Or, the Rashba says it in a different way, he wasn't doing it to avoid Yichud, he was avoiding that situation to avoid thinking inappropriately. Hirhur, which is also an Isser, perhaps an Isser Midorais of Lo Tatur Achrei Levavchem V'Achrei Einechem, even thinking inappropriately would be prohibited in that situation. So Yichud would be mutter, but he was nervous that being in such a situation, just to him, the two of them, and this one woman walking before them, that was what he was avoiding. But in terms of halachas of Yichud, us Ashkenazim, the majority of the Rishonim assume that such a level, to require such a high level of spiritual perfection, like Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi, that's only to have Yichud with one woman and two such men, only is a Midas Chasidus. But regular people, in terms of the regular halacha, the halacha for us Ashkenazim is one woman and two men is permitted. Fine. We will continue Bezos Hashem next week talking about traveling and late at night. Okay? Thank you very much for coming, and I hope we'll be able to get the jelly beans for next week. If any of you have questions, you could. Marv's at 10, so I still have a few minutes to answer questions, and if there are a lot of questions, I could dive in later. Please. Good night.